Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. Well, early this morning, and by early I mean 5:30 a.m. after 20 hours of negotiating, horse trading, backdoor dealing, House and Senate lawmakers approved a sweeping overhaul of banking regulations that was in the conference committees. If it's passed, it has to pass through the House and the Senate and get signed by the president. But if that happens, this will be the most sweeping change to Wall Street rules since the end of the Great Depression. Lawmakers hope to vote on the final bill next week and put it on the president's desk by July 4th. There are some compromises in here, some winners and some losers, and we're going to get a close look at them with Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent, and Tara Siegel Bernard, the New York Times personal finance reporter. And clearly, two of the most contentious items in this bill were the so-called Volcker rule and the derivatives issue. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But one of the big questions on people's minds right now is how this is going to affect their everyday lives when they walked in to purchase something at a store or how they use a bank. So, Todd, was this also as contentious as, say, derivatives?
You mean the consumer finance protections?
Not in the conference committee. Consumer finance protections were extremely contentious back when this bill was on the Senate floor. The reach of the Consumer Protection Committee, Consumer Protection Agency, whether it would be inside the Fed or not, which is kind of a beltway thing, how far into the banking industry's interaction with everyday customers it can really reach. That was contentious a couple of months ago, but once this reached the conference committee, it was a little bit less so. They were worried more about the inner workings of Wall Street, the derivatives and the Volcker rulers you mentioned.
Okay, Tara Siegel Bernard of the New York Times. One of the biggest portions of the consumer protections is this new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It's going to be housed inside the Federal Reserve, but will be an independent body. How much power and reach will this bureau have?
Well, the consumer advocates walked away pretty happily. It's really the centerpiece of the legislation, and it's going to write and enforce rules for most banks, mortgage lenders, credit card issuers, and private student loan lenders. But small banks and credit unions are going to have to obey the rules, but they're still going to be regulated by their current regulators. And oddly enough, auto dealers who make loans get a pass. This was something that was important to President Obama and the Pentagon because a lot of members of the military, for instance, have been swindled by some of these unscrupulous, car salesmen. But they managed to escape scrutiny of this new bureau.
How does that work,
exactly,
Tara? I mean, what's the argument? The lobbyist comes in and says, oh, we can't be changing this because the car companies rely on this swindling to make money, and these are jobs in our districts. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I've read that the auto industry, I guess it was about $3.5 million in lobbying money that they passed along. So
unbelievable.
And there were, it did have several champions in the House, but ultimately the auto dealers got their way.
Okay, well, Tara, tell me exactly what kind of, because this bureau oversees a lot of things. It would write rules for many banks, mortgage lenders, credit card companies, even private student loan companies. So tell me a couple things in here that would actually effectively change the way people do business on a daily basis.
Sure. Well, some of the major areas, mortgages, for instance, now lenders are going to be required to check borrowers' income and assets before loaning money. Radical idea, I know. They should have been doing this all along.
Closing the barn door after the horses left.
Exactly. But at least now it's in writing. So hopefully we won't end up in the same place we were before. It also bans prepayment penalties for people with adjustable rate mortgages and other complex mortgages. So if you need to move early and get out of your mortgage and pay off your, that's not going to be a problem. If you want to, mortgage brokers and banks are no longer going to be able to get bonuses for the type of loan that they put you in. So, for instance, during the subprime crisis, a lot of people that had perfectly fine credit and could have qualified for regular, prime mortgages were instead steered into these subprime mortgages because the broker made a heftier commission. So that will go away. And then another provision, It caps mortgage origination fees to 3%. So those are some areas where consumers do okay.
Okay. Tara Siegel-Bernard is the New York Times personal finance reporter. Now, Todd, I realize that asking you to explain what's in there about derivatives and the Volcker Rule in 3 minutes is a hefty task, but derivatives... derivatives was one of the most contentious items. What happened?
Well, this all started with Senator Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas, who chairs the Agriculture Committee. Her original language that got in the Senate bill would have walled off derivatives trading completely from commercial banks. Now, trading derivatives, some of them are murky, some of them rely on default swaps. They're all related.
Well, there's these invented trading securities. They basically make up this stuff and they create markets for it, and it's completely unregulated. And they wanted the banks to stay away from it.
Completely unregulated is true. Some derivatives are more substantive than others. There's all kinds of derivatives. Where they ended up was something a lot less than what Blanche Lincoln wanted. She wanted them walled off from the commercial banks. Instead, they're partly walled off. Banks do have to now set up a separate trading desk for derivatives, but not for all derivatives. Banks can still trade things called interest rate swaps and credit derivatives. What these are certain kinds of derivatives, but they're the most important ones to the banks. They're the ones the banks use to really hedge their risks in a way that we hope is responsible. So they can still trade those. What's walled off are the derivatives we know about from commodities: soybeans, pork bellies, light sweet crude. Those are all spun off. Commercial banks have to now put those into separate commercial entities. They can't trade them from the commercial bank anymore.
All right. Well, there's also a lot of talk of the Volcker Rule. This was the goal of this, introduced by Christopher Dodd of Connecticut, was to keep the banks from participating in some high-risk activities in which they could lose a lot of their money. And what happened to the Volcker Rule?
Well, they dialed that back, and now it's limited to 3%. Now the commercial banks can invest limited amounts in hedge funds and private equity. They did this, it was a political deal for Senator Scott Brown of Massachusetts. A lot of these hedge funds and private equity firms are in his state. He wanted this deal to get his vote. He got it.
Okay, so now he will vote for it.
Well, I guess that's up to him, but he got his deal.
That would be quite the turnaround if he shafted them and voted against it. Todd Zwillick is the Takeaway Washington correspondent. And we also spoke with Tara Siegel-Bernard. She's the personal finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Big changes in finances.